Hello and welcome to the Games with Garfield podcast. My name is Tyler Bielman. I'm here with Richard Garfield.
Hello.
And Scav Elias.
Hi.
I recently, for the first time, and I know I'm late to the party, played a game called Agricola. That's the correct pronunciation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It means agriculture in Latin, I think.
Oh, okay. It's also the Finnish, it is a Finnish poet, scholar with that last name. So I had a Finnish friend who was playing it and was like, oh, this is about writing epic poetry. I was like, no, it's not really about that.
Might be better if it were.
Well, you're going to jump right to the end of the page, aren't you, Mr. Elias? So I recently played, as a disclaimer, I did not play the expert version with that apparently has the minor improvements and cards in hand. I only played the family version. Do you remember which version you guys have played?
I played only a couple times, and I'm pretty sure it was expert.
Okay. So general impressions. This falls into the category of a German game with sort of an efficiency-based system of changing resources into other resources. Is that fair?
Yeah. There should be a class of games that describes. And if there is, then this is definitely one of those.
Well, we're now going to call it the efficiency game. Yeah. So, what was your first experience like? What did you think going in? What are your impressions?
I was really optimistic playing it because came away with. Well, the thing I was looking for in it, which everybody told me had, was great replayability, which is something that I find often missing in the Euro game market. Oftentimes, they've got a good game, but it's the same game. It feels like the same game again and again. Agricola handles that by having a large set of cards, which is dealt to people. They don't get all the cards, and the hand they get changes the game a lot.
I sadly did not play with the cards in hand, and there was a small amount of replayability each round between harvests. You were playing these cards out that can come up in any order, but it's a subset. So in the third round, there's three cards that are going to come up in any given order. It didn't seem to me like that added a lot of replayability. So I'm glad to hear that the cards in hand felt like it did.
Yeah, it was that was the review my friends were giving because they were playing it a lot.
Oh, I see.
And for me, I found that as well. But with the game which you're playing because of its replayability, you're not doing it justice to play it only once or twice. You really have to play it a bunch, and that is kind of hard to do with a game like Agricola, which is so long. At least it's kind of hard for me. I mean, how long did your game take?
About 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were playing the not advanced version. We were playing the family style version, and it still took quite a long time.
Yeah, my games took over 3 hours each, and so you don't finish a 3.5 hour game and say, wow, I hope this is replayable because I want to play it right now with another different set of cards. I mean, I guess I probably would have in my 20s, but right now I'm not doing that.
And to sort of cop a phrase that James Ernest had used, the tweak and try cycle on a game like Agricola is really long. You can't adapt a different strategy, turn around and play, and get a lot of feedback quickly like you can with a hand of poker.
Yeah, it's an underrated element of games that are replayable, length of play. The shorter, the better, practically. So
can we step through the core mechanics quickly so that way people have a quick understanding of how the game works?
Well, it's fresher in your mind, so you probably ought to be the one doing the stepping. I really haven't played it for a while. One thing I will comment is that it was often mentioned when I played it. It was mentioned the same breath as Race for the Galaxy.
Yeah, people have made that comparison, and Puerto Rico is the other one that I've. Seems comparable.
Dominion for me.
Oh, really? I had not heard that.
Dominion came out after, those two games, Race for the Galaxy. And do I have that name right?
It's Race for the Galaxy.
I always mixed up with Reach for the Stars or Reach for the Galaxy. Yeah. So I'm going to unload that that idea on other people. So now they screw it up too. Both Dominion and Race for the Galaxy have this very replayable thing where there's a different set of cards each time and it radically changes the game. But both those games are also much shorter, so I think they...
Yeah, to me, I have not played Race for the Galaxy, but the comparison to Dominion makes no sense to me, except that they both came out and got very popular around the same time. But I didn't see a mechanically a lot of this.
Well, you weren't playing with the cards in hand.
And I was not.
It's all, for me, the Agricola is all about those cards that you didn't play with. Because that's what changes it from game to game.
Right. So the core mechanic, I guess, to describe it, is each player has a little board with slots on it, and then there are actions that you can take. There's a variety of different actions on each turn. Depending on the turn order, somebody can take a certain action and stop you from using that action. The actions allow you to add certain resources to your board. It allows you to build certain things, much like now I'm drawing a blank. To build houses, there's combinations of resources that you need, kind of like settlers, and you can build certain. And ultimately, what you're doing is you're trading certain resources for other resources in sort of a wheel that eventually you're getting more and more efficient as the game proceeds. And then the upkeep is you.
You can buy a pig.
Eventually, you do buy a pig, and then
you buy a pig.
As in two pigs become a cattle. But the upkeep is every family member you have needs to have a house. A house costs you something to make. Making family members, all your family members give you more actions. Each family member requires more food per turn, so that's the upkeep. And then as you gain actions and become more efficient, and then at the end of the game,
you all count.
At the end of the game, all of the how you've spent your resources to fill in your slots on your board will then create the victory point score, and then unused slots count against your victory point score. And there's a very complicated matrix of what everything scores. If you have four cattle, then that gets you X amount of points. If you have six vegetable, that gives you X amount of points. And as long as you have one of each, it keeps you out of the negative point value. So my strategy going in, I had no idea how to play, but I looked at the scoring track and said, my personal victory condition is I just want to get one of everything so I don't look like an idiot. And I know that I'm not playing correctly, but I just don't want to end up with -1 points on anything.
Did you end up looking like an idiot?
I ended up with I ended up with one of everything.
Oh, so there you go.
I ended up coming in third out of five of us, tied for third. So third, fourth, depending on how you want to look at it. And we were playing with a guy who had played before and is a hardcore gamer and was playing a totally different game than we were. Like, our boards and his board looked radically different at the end, and he was a full-scale level ahead of us in terms of how he was playing the game. There was very little that we talk a little bit about mechanically, but one of the things that, again, I didn't play with the cards, but I found there to be really no player interaction except blocking people from taking certain actions. So there was no way to stop him from what he was doing. Well,
that's one of the things I like to refer to as one of the most popular methods of interaction for the Euro games is this passive-aggressive method of interaction where it doesn't feel like you're directly interacting with them, but you sort of indirectly affect them.
Yeah, I was going to build fences this turn, and now you've stopped me from building fences. So you've screwed my plan up and now increased the amount of time it's going to take me to make my turn.
And actually, that's one of my biggest problems with those things is that the interaction when it comes up is you sort of have to really be paying attention and really force it. It's not a natural part of the main mechanic of the game, I guess I would say.
Do the cards allow you to have more interaction?
There's some more, but it's still pretty firmly in the passive aggressive area because mostly the cards just give you new things to build for and new ways to score points and things like that.
And so when you're playing a lot of these games at a high level or a competitive level, you really have to count. I mean, it's all about counting anyway, but it's really about counting your opponent's situations as well because you need to because the interaction is so it doesn't come naturally, I guess would be the best way to say it. You got to count who's in the lead, what do I do to stop him, et cetera, et cetera.
And what I found was there was so many different currencies going on in the game that it was impossible for me as a first-time player to have a handle on how things efficiently transferred into other things.
No, it's crazy. There's so many things going on in the game that it is really hard to get a handle on the first game, the first two games. I have no idea. Certainly the games I played, I didn't feel like I had a good handle on the action and the currency exchanges.
What was the zero-level strategy you had going in? Do you remember? Like, what?
Well, ironically, with me, the cards helped more because they give you So the cards are the advanced play, but they also give you things to shoot for. So I forget the details, but I know when you get your cards, you look at it and you find some cards that have some synergy, and you say, okay, I'm going to try to work these together.
I see. So it sets you up for a combo, or it sort of directs you to a place, because that would have been, I think, really helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so if you're not playing with that, then everybody sort of is in the same boat. They're all sort of should be doing kind of the same thing. But with the cards, you look at your cards and you have these special powers or these special scoring opportunities, and you can start. You realize that the pig is very valuable for you,
right?
And so you can work with that.
That so yeah, any sort of card like that would have helped me direct my game. And I also felt like that if you were playing at a sufficiently advanced level, the game became about what level of resource to skip. If that makes sense. So, for example, you would go from sheep into boars into cattle. But then, if you knew what you're doing, maybe you bypass one of those two initial levels to become optimally efficient. And then you're taking a sacrifice on building stables or building fences. And I was unable to process which ones to skip to try to get ahead in the game.
You can't build everything.
Yeah, and Tyler didn't want to look like an idiot, build everything.
I did build everything, and I didn't win, and I think that's the point.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my way of saying, I need to understand the engine. The only way I'm going to do that is by trying to get one of everything.
Well, one problem with the efficiency games, especially when they last a long time, is that you realize probably partway through your first game or even your second game, if you've made mistakes and haven't built up enough capital at efficient level in the earlier stages, you can really sort of be out of it.
So the fellow you were playing with, who was the advanced player who played before, did he want to play with cards?
That's a good question. I believe, yeah, he did, and he kept commenting as we were playing that he missed them a lot, which for a variety of reasons, because he was building a little math engine that was working at a very clear level that I think his comprehension of the game was strong enough that with the addition of the cards, he understands the core engine, and he's going to have even more of an optimized experience. I was just very odd in this visual tableau you have of this farm, and you're building fences and little stables and sheep and grain and vegetables. And we look over at his board and it's empty, except what he's working on is just building more guys to create more actions. And then in the end game, he just drops a ton of stuff on the board and wins because he understood that system better than I did. Now, it's not unreasonable for someone to sit down and say, oh, the thing that gives you more actions? Yeah, that's probably pretty good. But the upkeep on those was unclear to me. It was unclear how hard it would be to maintain that. So I kept my strategy of just one of everything, and then I'll play again some other time.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to?
No, I don't really. I really don't think. I mean, based on your recommendation, I might play again with the cards because I think that actually sounds like a more enjoyable experience. But those games that are just math, they're just not interesting to me.
Did you like Puerto Rico?
No, not really. I mean,
okay. So I would say for this game, there are a lot of people who like Puerto Rico, and I think for this game, people who like Puerto Rico should really like Agricola. It's got a lot of the same stuff going on, but it's added two things which I think are really important for a game. I think it's added the hidden information. Everybody's got this hand of cards, and Puerto Rico has no hidden information outside the immense complexity of the game. and the other thing it has is this thing where the game is different every time because the cards out there are different every time, and Puerto Rico is only different because of the play decisions people make, not because of the actual setup of the game. And so I think those add a lot to the game. And I think people coming in who like Puerto Rico will really get off on Agricola. And my friends, that's the case. They're the ones who liked Puerto Rico liked Agricola a lot.
And Agricola it's doing really well. Like, it's selling well. It's a very popular game. And it could be that exact thing. It's just Puerto Rico, that engine with this ability, these features you've added. So in my mind, I will definitely play again, thanks to you, Richard, that your recommendation and that it's going to be better. Bait was based on those cards. I'm in. Okay, actions are good. More people.
That's certainly.
And play with the cards.
Yeah, the first time you play a game, if something's giving you actions, I usually try to go for those.
I have one quick comment, which is that if you don't like playing board games that last longer than 2 hours, don't play board games that last longer than 3 hours.
With that sage advice,
I'd be curious what the breakdown of our listenership is.
No, it's at some stage in most hobby game players' lives, they like playing games that are long, and you want your game to be good if it's going to be long.
Well, so. You're an old school historical miniatures guy. Those games would last a long, long time, right?
That's true. Although I didn't, I don't necessarily play them anymore. That's what I'm saying. At some stage in your life, I mean, when you're going to play a 3-hour game and you have the time to do it, you really want to make sure it's good. So you really actually should go searching for reviews and, you know, you don't want to
I mean, Agricola's
exactly.
Really high.
Richard, yeah, exactly. So if you've got the time, I think it's really, you know, it's something you should look into.
It's and it's actually more than even just willingness to play a long game, right? Because Agricola, if you're only going to play it once, probably not worth it. Mm-hmm. You got to play it a bunch.
Well, it's expensive, so if you buy it, get your money's worth. Play a bunch of times.
Well, and I would actually argue that for long games, the fact that you want to play them more than once is actually very important. The reason being, most games, the first time you play them, you don't really understand what's going on. It's almost like you're just exploring the rule system. It's the second, third, fourth time that you play a game that you really, you know, start to get it. And so sort of it's a little bit counterintuitive, but you don't want to play a 3.5-hour game once and not really know what you were doing until the very end. So it's actually more important for the longer, you know, for the longer games that they're replayable, at least in my opinion.
We could come up with a metric that's like value per hour on a game, and then like how that curve increases with these games that are more complex.
Yes, we could.
All right, well, that's another topic for another day. And so, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Agricola.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. Yeehaw. 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 Yeehaw.